This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Langwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, especially the joy you feel when you share God's love with others. A lot of people gather and love in Pittsburgh today for the marathon, people who love to run different lengths. It's a great day in Pittsburgh, hopefully. Everyone is well. Some, of course, having problems with knees. I look from my room and see where they were going into the medical center and ice being applied. And can remember the days when I ran, not in races or marathons, but just loved to run. And was like a time for prayer. I could pray. I always wanted to go by myself and run. And other times I said nothing and just waited for God to speak to me. I'd like then to begin our program with this story that is based on faith and formed with imagination as we do each week. A group of women slowly approached Jesus and his followers. "We come bearing gifts," an older woman said. "Food, food and more food." The men's faces filled with joy because they knew the women had fresh bread and fruit with them. Jesus said, "Welcome to my home." The old woman nodded and said to her daughter and daughter-in-law, "Prepare the food and lay it out so the men may eat." The women slowly removed the coverings from the baskets and placed it on the clean cloth they had lain upon the ground. When the men had eaten, Jesus said, "You have brought us food and we thank you for it. Now, what can we do for you?" The old woman smiled mischievously and answered, "We want food for our minds. And so I ask you, Master, how can one grow closer to the Father? I am old. Many years are upon me, even though I do not look my age." Her daughter-in-law and daughter began to laugh. She turned to them and said with disgust, "This is what I have to put up with, two silly girls." They began to laugh even harder, because they were not girls by any means. They were mothers, and one was soon to be a grandmother. Jesus replied, "Your question is not foolish, woman. We grow close to my Father by feeding the hungry and asking for nothing in return, by listening to one who is troubled and not condemning, by helping to teach the young what is right and wrong, by caring for someone who has no one else, by being at the side of the dying and comforting them during their return home, by being a steward of the earth, not abusing it, but caring for it. Then Jesus looked down at his hands and at the old woman and said, "Woman, woman, I can see by your hands you have worked many hours in the fields." "Many days, many years," she replied, "and I still continue to work even though my eyesight is not as good as it used to be, and my back hurts. I tell you this, woman, when you are in the field, do not let your mind become idle, but pray. Pray in the words you have learned. Speak to the Father. Tell him what you feel about your love and your frustrations. Speak to him, for he knows all. One must mature spiritually. One must learn that to be close to the Father, you must address him and speak with him not only as your God, but also as your friend, as your creator and your comforter." Then Jesus thanked the women, and they slowly turned and began to journey home. Peter said, "Master, you give such simple recommendations, simple thoughts about how to be close to the Father. Can you not impress them more?" "By saying what?" Jesus asked. "By saying what? For in the simple gift of love, a beautiful relationship will grow." A story of faith and imagination. Our guest this evening writes at the beginning of the first chapter of her latest book titled Holy Hacks: Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. Holiness has a bad reputation. People fear it is a miserable and torturous life. By contrast, life hacks have become wildly popular on social media as shortcuts and creative ways to improve life. Holy hacks put the two together to show that striving for holiness doesn't have to be hard. Nothing is worth improving more than our spiritual life, but the road to heaven seems to be a steep climb. Many saints were martyrs and wore hair shirts, and some were given the stigmata, the actual wounds of crucifixion, as a gift. Holiness, then, might appear to be just for the stout-hearted, not the rest of us. Yet a hair shirt is not a mandatory religious accessory, nor are the grimaces and blood required to get into heaven. Dying to self does not have to be an abrupt slaughter. Instead, it can be a minute-by-minute offering of ourselves to God. Many are tempted to feel guilty of chronic ordinariness. The routine of navigating life might seem to rule out sainthood. But some of the saints started out as positively ordinary to the average observer. Consider that at the end of St. Teresa of Lisieux's life as a cloistered Carmelite nun, her fellow nuns wondered what they would put in her eulogy because she was so ordinary. Yet she became a doctor of the church and is a very popular saint. People often claim that she sends roses from heaven in answer to prayers, just as she promised she would while spending her time in heaven working for us. Saint Teresa's way to sainthood was what has been called the little way, simply doing even the smallest task with love and in union with God. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, whom we knew as Mother Teresa, had the same idea. She used to say that while not all of us can do great things, we can do small things with love. The author of these words is Patty McGuire Armstrong, who is an award-winning Catholic journalist and award-winning and best-selling author, who is a correspondent for our Sunday Visitor and the National Catholic Register and contributing writer for Legatus. Her books include The Amazing Grace series, Big Hearted, and Dear God, You Can't Be Serious. She has appeared on EW, TN, Catholic TV, Fox and Friends, and numerous local and national raid programs. Patty and her husband, Mark, met in the Peace Corps in the Marshall Islands, Micronesia. They now live in North Dakota, where they are raising the youngest of their 10 children. Patty McGuire Armstrong, welcome to Amplify.
Ron, that was a beautiful introduction.
Well, thank you. It's certainly deserving. The point for Holy Hacks, as I've just read, is just to do the little things, and God will let you know if he has more for you to do and give you the grace to do it when the time comes. How do we know then when our hearts are one with God and we know that God is speaking to us?
Well, it's a day-to-day journey, and the more you desire God, the more you look for ways that you can grow closer to him, and that was the whole idea of Holy Hacks, is life abounds with ways to grow closer, that we're already living our life without changing our life. There's many opportunities we may have never thought of. So we're actually increasing our capacity to love God without dramatically changing our life. And so I get the same reaction from people over and over. Wow, I could do that. That's so easy. I didn't think of that. And there is an excitement. I know there is for me, even writing the book, that mm-hmm. I can do that. This is, you know, just for example, somebody gave me a plant a few years ago. It's probably been 5 years now for my birthday. And every time I water it, I say a prayer for that person.
Yes.
And when I've told people that, everybody says, oh, I can, you know, they think of something special that, why not? Why don't I say a prayer for that person when I wear that item or I water that plant or, you know, whatever, when I use a gift, pray for the person that gave it to you. So that's just such a small little example. And that by doing this, you know, we think about sainthood. You read part of it. You know, it's it doesn't have to be wearing a hair shirt and living this excruciating life, that you do things little by little. It's like, I like to compare it to New Year's resolutions. We all know that within a couple weeks, hardly anybody is keeping their New Year's resolutions because we want to do something great and different and change our life. And the small things are easy to maintain. Not only are they easy to maintain, but when you think about it, it's easy to do things in little steps. So that when that little thing becomes your new normal, there's other little things. And sometimes they're just one-time things. Sometimes they're daily habits. But you're growing and increasing your capacity to live your faith and love God and love your neighbor in little ways that don't hurt, that aren't hard, that are actually kind of fun once you start doing them.
Yeah, let me amplify a little bit more on the concept of holy hacks, as you write in your book titled Holy Hacks. You write, holy hacks are really life hacks for eternal life, easy and creative ideas to do more for the love of God and neighbor in ways that fit into your life. People sometimes resist sainthood and their vision of what holiness looks like because it seems like it will hurt or be too hard. Holy hacks offer a way to holiness in baby steps that add up without a Herculean effort you probably cannot sustain. It is the sure and steady course of the tortoise that finishes the race rather than the fast start of the hare that never finished. At such a rate of speed, we increase the capacity of our heart to love others and live more fully for Christ incrementally. So this is not like a quick fix process. It's something that really has to become like a part of our life, doesn't it?
Right. It becomes us, and it happens so gradually that we grow with it. And so it becomes who we are. It begins to form us. And I also use the example that a trickling current ever moving forward can become a mighty river, but a river that stops moving soon becomes a snake-infested swamp. So a lot of people feel, oh, my life is ordinary. Gee, I'm not really doing anything. But we just need to keep moving forward because we can't really tread water in the spiritual life. Now, you're a priest. I don't have the same ability to spiritually guide people that you do, Father. But wouldn't you say that we really can't just stay treading water, that we either need to move forward or we're going to start to get swept?
Absolutely.
Down the current.
Yes. I thought today and influenced it, as you probably heard me say, we had a race today and in Pittsburgh there were tens of thousands actually participated in. And I recalled Paul's words that said, life is like a race. And not in terms of how fast we go, but in terms of how we must prepare for it and how we have to work our way through things. And there are many other things about it. And in that effort, because we're doing it together consciously with God, we become blessed in ways we don't even understand. And I love your book because I don't know how many holy hacks there are in the book. Maybe you probably do, but people might ask, how do I know? Where can I find ways to grow in love? Well, holy hacks, this book has all kinds of ways, and they're the everyday, simple things that we can do, aren't they?
Yes, there's nothing in here that requires anything extreme or drastic. And, it's really about growing in our faith, our hope, and our love, just like in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, So faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love, and so we really are growing in love. And you think, well, how do you do that? Either you have it or you don't. Nope. There's just little, like saying that prayer, thinking about somebody, thinking of ways to evangelize. And I mean, right now everyone's like, well, come on, give me some ideas. What are you guys talking about? But we talk about spiritual protection, humility, gossip, by the time you get through the chapter in gossip, you don't want to gossip. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to do that. And it's just full of ideas on how not to gossip, but it gets you to the point where you become repelled by it. Because when you think about, what are the ways you describe a person that gossips? It's not somebody you like. It's not something you want to be described as. And when you stop and think about it, whatever you do to others, you do to Christ. If you're hurting others, you're hurting Christ. You might be embarrassed. People think poorly of you. Instead, if you're lifting people up, saying kind things, maybe biting your tongue, saying a prayer, when you're about ready to criticize somebody, compliment them instead. There's all these little ways that you're going to feel better about yourself. Others are going to think better of you, and you're going to avoid making yourself look foolish and petty and insecure. And so when you wrap your... we slip into these things. Gossip is a sin, and we slip into all our sins, and just like we slip into gossip. But if you take a moment to think about it and reflect and meditate, you don't want to be that person. And what are some ways that you can rise above gossip, resist it, make up for it, and do the opposite? So the opposite of sin is developing virtues. So you're becoming a better, holier, happier, more admirable person.
Right, and there's some holy hacks for that, too, and we'll talk about that probably a little bit later. I need to say, I don't know how many people I've interviewed over 44 years, especially authors of books, but I don't ever remember, I could be wrong, but I don't ever remember someone saying in the book, before you read my book, you'd like us to pray to God first of all. Why did you make that particular recommendation?
Because, Father, I used to write in the secular world, and I'm not going to knock somebody who's a secular writer. I did it for many years. I wrote for Woman's World magazine. I wrote for Ski and Country America newspapers. And I also wrote for the National Enquirer. Now, that's a whole other story that I decided I wasn't going to sell my soul for. But when I crossed over into religious writing, it happened gee, I didn't even do it. Really, it was God, because I thought it'd be so boring to be a religious writer. But what I did is I gave my gift of writing back to God. And I said, okay, Lord, you gave me this gift. I love it. I seem to be able to do it well. I want to do it to glorify you. Now, you can do that in the secular world in a lot of ways. When I wrote for Women's World magazine, I was able to include that somebody was praying, that they felt their guardian angel with them. But when I started doing religious writing, oh my goodness, did the world open up? Did something I thought was boring was the most exciting thing in the world? And so getting to your question about praying before you read the book, I pray before I write the book. And you know what? I pray after I write the book.
Yes.
Because it hit me. If the Holy Spirit inspired me to write a book, once I've written it, the work has just begun. And now I need to pray for all those people to prepare their hearts and minds. And I pray whether they think it's the book or not, then I'm praying for those people that God will inspire them to grow closer to Him. Because in the end, and when I speak to writers, and I like to speak to Catholic writers, I said, you know, if on your deathbed you have 10 New York Times bestsellers, but you haven't given your gift of writing to God, you got nothing. You have absolutely nothing. But if you just wrote pamphlets or you did an email, but you did it all for the Lord, you have everything you're taking with you into eternity.
Let me read us out to our first break. You want us to think of your book as a cookbook, and you write, you don't thumb through the pages feeling overwhelmed because you don't have time to make every recipe. Instead, you find things that grab your attention, things that you would like to make. The key to do everything in love for and with Jesus and in His name. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And you write, this book is a tool to help you integrate love into actions. The only thing we take with us before God when our days are up. On Judgment Day, we don't want to learn that the margins of our lives could have made the world a better place and our own souls stronger. So, let's take this break and then we'll be back. Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest is Patty McGuire Armstrong. We're talking about her latest book titled Holy Hacks. If you didn't tune in at the very beginning, Holy Hacks is a way of showing that striving for holiness doesn't have to be hard, doesn't have to be difficult. Holy Hacks offer a way to holiness in baby steps, and they help to integrate our love into actions. And so love is lived out daily, moment by moment, prayer by prayer, and hack by hack. Patty, let's do this to give them an idea. I think the first list of holy hacks, there are probably just about 50 of them. And let's just start talking. You select one, I'll select one, and tell me why you selected it, and I'll tell you why I selected it. And it'll be a way of explaining to people how all of the holy hacks won't appeal to them. That would be, I think, the unusual person. But there will be certain things that will appeal to some people and some that will appeal to others, I believe. Is that the way it is to work?
Oh, absolutely, yes, yeah.
Why don't you select one, and let's just go back and sort of give people a good sense of what the holy hacks are and how they can integrate them into their own lives.
Okay, one of my favorites, because it's easy, but it's not easy, is abstain from complaining. And that means don't even grumble about the weather. So if you start the day and say, okay, I am not going to complain today, it doesn't take any more time, does it? You're not doing anything different. No more work physically, but it's a work of the will, and it's actually going to be good for you, make you holier, humbler, and more pleasant to be around. But it is a challenge not to complain for one day.
I'll pick the very first one in the list. St. Teresa of Lisieux's Little Way, you write, turns out, to be as doable outside a convent as inside one. Little ways such as letting someone go ahead of us in traffic, taking the piece of pizza where all the pepperoni has slipped off, or picking up someone else's garbage can become habits to holiness, although they can be so hard at times, sometimes. And again, this doesn't make us saints to say that why they appeal to us. Letting someone go ahead of us in traffic in Pittsburgh, it's really admirable how we're lined up where traffic is merging, and people, most people, not all, but most people will let one person in after the other. And it's inspiring in many ways. Taking the piece of pizza where all the pepperoni has slipped off wouldn't apply to me because I've been a vegetarian for over 30 years. So,
maybe you can pick something else that's not your first choice.
I wouldn't look good at that point, but people might be picking up someone else's garbage. I have one of these things where in the bathroom that I use in our building, in the diocesan building, there's someone who just can't hit the can with the garbage can with the paper they've wiped their hands with, and it's on the floor, and that's part of my personality order, I would think, and so that's and I pick it up and I throw it in. Sometimes people are afraid, I guess, you want to pick up someone else for what might be on the paper, so you wash your hands. That's what you're in there for, really. So that's why that's why that one appealed to me, because it's something I'm engaged in to some degree. Another one from you.
Well, when you're driving, speaking of driving, there are so many opportunities to grow in holiness just by driving. You know, if somebody irritates you, you know, it takes just as much time to say a little prayer for them instead of getting angry, yelling at them, or doing worse. And you actually are growing in holiness by doing that. And when you look at it as, okay, that as soon as somebody gets you irritated, whether it's in traffic or wherever, think about it in this way. If they just did you a favor, think of going back to Saint Therese in her little way, is by doing something kind to somebody who's difficult, not only are you doing it for Jesus, but Jesus made a deal with us. He said, the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you, which explains why are all the saints so kind to the people that we would tell off or certainly keep away from. And I'm not telling people to be abusive to themselves. You know, I'm not inviting that victimization. However, there's always going to be people that do irritate us and realize, wait a minute, I can grow in holiness. If I pray for them, it's going to help that person and it's going to help me too. And God made a deal. And if I give them undeserved mercy, he's going to give me undeserved mercy. And we have to remember that sometimes we are that person that's irritating somebody else. So, you know, it's always going to work both ways.
Some of the others that I would point to, so we don't take the whole program doing this, although there's a lot to be learned by it, is talk to your heavenly secret service agent, your guardian angel, every day and throughout the day. I have a great devotion to the angels, especially Saint Michael, and so that would be one of mine. Take an area pilgrimage to a nearby shrine or cathedral. We're about to open up 4 churches in our diocese as shrines. So that would be one for me. I think this one's very practical. Having trouble focusing on your prayers, try saying them out loud if you're alone. How do you believe that can help us?
To focus. I find myself a lot of times, I'll be trying to say the rosary and, you know, maybe if I'm having trouble focusing, and then if I start saying the words out loud, you're just a little more aware of what you're doing and what you're saying, and you can listen to yourself, or you know, if you're having trouble praying, maybe sing. Find a song and sing, you know, because we all have that problem where we're not focused on prayer. So just a couple different ways where you could become more focused.
Stand up for God when someone uses his name in vain. I hear confessions periodically, and it's surprising how many people take God's name in vain. And you say, make a sign of the cross. Say something like, praise be the Lord, or note that God's last name is in damn. And when someone shares a problem with you, pray for them on the spot. When your phone rings, ask God to bless the person calling you. Try very hard to pay attention in Mass. It certainly would be one of mine as a priest to listen to the Word of God, because God is actually trying to speak to each of us personally at that particular time. Praise and thank God throughout the day. Tell Him how amazing He is and how grateful you are. And the last one is, throughout the day, meditate on God being there with you, involved in every detail of your life. If even the hairs of your head have all been counted, Luke 12:7, then He certainly knows about the driver that just cut us off or the slow cashier at the grocery store that is going to make us late. This is the journey. The good, the bad, the broken ATMs are all a part of it. And I want to point out to people, we've talked about 10 or 12 mentioned. There are 50 here. So there's so much. But let's move on to Holy Hacks for Humility. How can we empty ourselves to make more room for God?
Well, there's about another 50 or more ideas on how we can do that. The simple, humble things. For instance, when you mentioned picking up someone's trash and throwing it away, that seems small, and you sound like you're already doing it, Father. But, it's not easy. We always feel like it's not my trash. I didn't make that mess. I don't want to touch other people's garbage. But, even if you're at a fast food restaurant and you clear a table and just throw it away because somebody else didn't do it, there are people paid to do it. But when we're growing in humbleness, we're letting go of our pride, and we need to be humble in order to be holy. So I listed a lot of different ways, including some ideas from Mother Teresa. And did I answer your question, though, why humility?
You point out, you write about how we can learn humility from Jesus, and that humility has a lot to do with prayer. In fact, it's really the foundation, and humility is the core of holiness. And you write that that humility is holy forgetfulness, and that humility can only be achieved by abandoning it, and humility then affects all of those around us, and Jesus then is our ultimate example, and which would lead us to what you were going to say about Mother Teresa kept a list of ways to cultivate hospitality. Why don't you go there?
Okay, I'm going to go to Mother Teresa, but can I just say my favorite?
Absolutely, please.
My favorite thought on humility is, the devil said, in speaking to St. John Vianney, who was a very holy parish priest in France, he said, the devil had said to him, he used to be attacked sometimes by the devil, harassing him, and the devil said to him once, I can do everything you do. I can do your penances. I can imitate you in everything. There's one thing, however, that I cannot do. I cannot imitate you in humility. And St. John Vianney responded, that is why I defeat you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is what sent the devil to hell. He went from a good angel to a bad angel and went to hell because he could not bow down. He could not humble himself. So let me see. Okay, Mother Teresa's tips for humility. I'll just touch on some of them. Speak as little as possible about yourself. Keep busy with your own affairs and not minding the business of others. Accept small irritations with good humor. Do not dwell on the faults of others. Accept censures, even if unmerited. That's hard.
Yes.
Give in to the will of others. Let other people have their choice or their will. Accept insults and injuries. Accept contempt as well as being forgotten and disregarded. Be courteous and gentle, even when provoked by someone. Do not seek to be admired and loved. We always feel like, hey, what about me? Hey, I did this. Just let it go. Don't worry about it. Just, it's between you and God. Do not protect yourself behind your own dignity. Give in to discussions even when you know you're right, especially if you're married. We're supposed to do that. We have some opportunities you don't, Father.
Yes.
Choose always the most difficult task. So those were some of the highlights of Mother Teresa's suggestions.
Right, and you write that she taught us that it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into the giving, writing, quote, "Don't look for big things, just do small things with great love. The smaller the thing, the greater must be our love," close quote. And this, what you've just read, are the list of some of the ways to cultivate humility, a list that she had for her sisters that were in her care and inspired them.
I also want to talk about in humility, and I've written articles about this before, that some things that have helped me is understanding that humility is not putting yourself down, that is not a good idea at all. First of all, if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to love ourselves. And if we're going to give glory to God, we need to thank him and recognize that all our gifts come from him. So with that in mind, putting ourselves down is not going to lead us to holiness, and it's still self-focused. We're still focused on ourselves, even if we say, oh, gosh, I'm so stupid. Oh, man, you know, like whatever you, if you're focused on yourself, you're still being prideful, even if it's disguised as, you know, putting, you know, being humble, but it's not really when you're talking about yourself. And also, being confident, we should be confident with the gifts God has given us, and that's not the same as prideful. And it might seem like a fine line, but it's a big one, wouldn't you say, Father?
I would think so, yes. And some people would be surprised at this holy hack. Embrace failure. I didn't say to seek it, you write, just embrace what happens, trusting that God can use all things for good for those who love him. And if we were to learn that God is with us in all that happens at every moment of life, that God will help us to overcome it.
Right, yeah. And that is another thought, that you have to take a moment and go, and meditate on it. When you're embracing failure, like I said, you're not seeking it, but what's going to come out of this? First of all, you can offer it up because it hurts. You know, offer it up. If there's somebody involved that stood in your way, pray for them. And then ask God to help you get out of whatever this failure, whatever the reason, help you to get something out of it. Let's not waste it. You know, just say, okay, Lord, I'm giving you my suffering. I'm giving you my pain and my disappointment. And now what do you have to give me through this? Let me be open to what you have to give me. Because sometimes when I'm speaking and I give retreats, I there's nobody in the room that hasn't experienced disappointment, only to later on say, whoa, thank goodness I didn't get what I thought I wanted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for protecting me. So we're just going to have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And if we are seeking his will and living a prayerful and sacramental life, and we experience some kind of disappointment, well, we're just going to have to somehow accept that this was God's will and keep moving on.
And I'll just read the first sentence. I won't read the full hack, holy hack. Do good deeds in secret as service without the attention. Don't compare yourself with others. Resolve to compliment at least one person every day. And so if we were, and the importance of this is when you do these simple little things, they grow deeper and more powerful, and they become almost a part of our prayer life each day. Certainly strengthen and deepen our relationship with God. And it doesn't become something we have to work at all the time, although doing things like this can sometimes be difficult, but rather becomes a way of living, which is what we're attempting to do, to counter the culture within which we live, because they have their own hacks in many ways to try to make us live in certain ways that they're going to benefit their company, their corporation, whatever it might be, because they're trying to sell something. But we are here from God to help one another. And so to do good deeds in secret, without attention, don't compare yourself to another, compliment at least one person every day. And I can assure you that one or more of these are going to become a part of my daily living, for sure.
Right, and I think, you know, because we're human, And we want to look up to people. We want to get ideas from them. But we have to be so careful not to compare ourselves, because that could lead to jealousy or envy. And if we're, and I think that we're all susceptible to that. Somebody we think is smarter, brighter, and more successful, more attractive. But when you think about it, okay, God has a plan for each one of us. And if we're going to be so caught up in what other people have, we're going to miss out on what God is giving to us. And the only reason we're here on this earth is to fulfill. He has a purpose for us. And so we need to be seeking that. And we're going to be tempted to look around us and notice things, but we have to fight that and not compare ourselves with others. If, you know, if you need to go to adoration, if you need to take some time to pray and talk to God, if you're tempted to do that, just stop it. Just pull away from it and recognize it. I think just recognizing it as a problem is going to begin making it easier for you not to do that.
You make suggestions on hacks for holy relationships. You write, relationship hacks are about finding simple ways to follow God's command to love one another. Others include casual acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers, teachers, and family members, the whole range of human relationships. Within every one of these are opportunities to be Christ to others, spreading love and joy. Let me repeat that. Within every one of these are opportunities to be Christ to others, spreading love and joy. And what holy hacks that you have listed in your book might you recommend in that regard?
Listening to people, making a point of praising people for a job well done. And, you know, in all these things, you're taking attention off yourself and you're noticing people around you. You're looking for opportunities. You know, maybe do somebody's chore, do somebody's task for them. Maybe do it and not even let them know you're doing it, because you want to be casual. It's not about, oh, look, I'm doing this great thing for you. You're not doing it for attention. Release somebody from a debt, or forgive somebody something that maybe it's difficult. Just, you know, work on letting that go, or give an anonymous gift of money to somebody you know who's struggling. And by doing it anonymously, it helps you to be humble, so you're not doing it for yourself. You really are. It's a true gift for somebody else. I'm greeting people with a smile, especially mm-hmm. your spouse and children. But, you know, making the point like, hey, I'm gonna be pleasant, because I think all of us, we know we've all had that experience where that pleasant person leaves us uplifted, and we know the opposite, where some grouch just brings us down, makes us angry. You know, all of a sudden they put a cloud over our head. So we can be that person that lifts other people up.
The ones that appeal to me because of the circumstances in which I find myself in the present are, notice the goodness and good work of others and thank God for them. We have, in our diocesan pastoral center, we've had to lay off a number of people. And the people who are left, you need to... They wonder, you know, who's next? How is this going to go further? How's my life? And so really supporting one another becomes critically important. Ask God to bless all your relationships, for you to treat people as He wills, and for your interactions to lead you both closer to Him. So not only must we think about ourselves and what God wants us to be, we need to help other people in the same way. And we're going to be successful more by working together than by working alone. Yeah. Resist looking at your phone when you're with others. That's something today that is almost impossible. When you sit in meetings, I have to say that I've done the same thing. It's like become a new way of life, and I'm not so sure it's so good. It gives you the immediacy of the moment. But nevertheless, it breaks up what is happening, because even in that moment, you might think that you still are fully a part of it, but that's not always the case. So resist looking at your phone when you're with others. Give an anonymous gift of money to someone struggling financially. How helpful that can be also. And then another one that I think is We're with some of the same people every day, and we're with other people. But you suggest that thank God every day for the people he has placed in your life. We forget that, that some of the people who are the closest to us are there as a part of God's plan, and that they are truly gifts to us, as we are gifts to one another also. Well, we've come up, Patty, for our next break. The book we're talking about with Patty McGuire Armstrong is Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. We'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the second hour of Amplify, where our guest is Patty McGuire Armstrong, talking about her book, Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. I guess the description I like, that they are a way to holiness in baby steps. Patty is an award-winning Catholic journalist, an award-winning and best-selling author, and this is her latest book. Patty, there are like two groups of hacks for marriage. Why don't you, well, let's first of all talk about why is marriage fodder for comics, and then talk about some of the hacks that you believe are important. They're all important, the ones that are touching you at this moment.
Yeah, you know, marriage is it's a challenge, it's a blessing. You know, not all marriages make it, but, you know, if we really nurtured those relationships and with God and with our spouse, I think more marriages would make it. And so, you know, in the chapter of Holy Hacks for Relationships, I included just a general, you know, it could be your coworkers, your family, and even for difficult relationships, difficult people. And then I really honed in on marriages, because we need to be looking, just like the whole book, Holy Hacks, is about looking for ways to grow in holiness. Well, we especially need to be doing that if we're married. Ways to strengthen our relationship, to show kindness and love to our spouse, which we tend to take for granted if we aren't paying attention.
And so
did you want, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. You can finish your thought. No, please.
Well, I want, you know, for instance, avoiding expressing anger, at least not right away.
Yes.
You know, pause, pray first. I can't tell you the number of times, because I'm a prayerful person. I go to Mass every day, where I maybe got angry about something and then thought later, wait a minute, why didn't I pray first? You know, before I speak, I need to pray first. So I always try to remember that. And if I didn't remember, then I pray afterwards, you know. You know, if you're feeling upset or angry about something or hurt, you know, stop and pray about it. I'm amazed at, you know, for my husband and I, we've come a long, long way in our marriage. And we try to pray a rosary together daily, and we've only been doing that in the last a year and a half. I mean, we've prayed a rosary and gone to Mass, and we would occasionally say rosaries together, but we've been trying to do it daily. And even if you just say, now I know from traveling and being on planes, I know in talking to people and from my own personal experience that sometimes just praying with your spouse feels a little uncomfortable if you haven't done it. But boy, is it powerful to pray with your spouse, to join together. And what I recommend to people, if it's difficult, is get a prayer card. Get a prayer card and then just take turns reading it, or just read it out loud and just make some kind of a commitment. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean not to do it. But, you know, some of the other ways of appreciating your spouse, thinking of the things. Stop and think about the things that they do that you appreciate that makes your life easier. Pray for them. Our job is to get each other to heaven.
That's exactly the one I was going to pick, because of my present situation. There's a man who has served Mass where I have the 6:30 Mass. He's always been the one that has served regularly, and he was there even a little bit before me. And I'm talking like about 37, 40 years. And his wife just returned to God. And I remember when she was still on earth, he was saying how they'd been married 47 years, and he wished that they would be able to uh, that to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary together. And he said this to me then, and I didn't really think about it. Then I see it written in your book. Remember that spouses are supposed to help each other get to heaven. And that's what he said. When they got married, they said to one another, we're going to help each other to get to heaven. I just thought that was beautiful. It captures something of the whole essence, I think, of marriage. Let's
right, and it elevates the relationship too, the whole purpose.
Let's jump then to chapter 4, holy prayer hacks.
Okay.
Because that is so important also. There's one before that, relationships with difficult people, where you talk about how people can how can people who challenge us be our greatest treasures? And then you have holy hacks there also. Consider how much you want God to bless you and pray for that same blessing on the people you find difficult or have hurt you at work, family, or social gathering. Without being a martyr, go out of your way to spend time with someone who is alone and looks as if they could use some company. I wanted to jump ahead, but it's hard for me to do that because there's so many wonderful ideas in here. Again, so simple ways to holiness in baby steps. But jumping again, as I said, to holy prayer hacks. Tell us a little bit about this section. How is it that prayer can help us to know God better?
Well, prayer is spending time with God. So we don't spend time with God, we're going to have some problems with our relationship with Him. We're not going to have a relationship. And so, and Catholics are often criticized. Oh, they just use these memorized prayers. You know, memorized prayers aren't all bad. I think we have to have a balance. We should also talk to God. But those mental prayers, the memorized ones can help us to focus too. So you're focusing on the words. You don't have to keep inventing new words as you go along, because if all you're doing is talking to God, absolutely talk to God. But if that's all you're doing, then when you stop talking, you stop praying. And since Catholics are comfortable with the memorized prayers, we can just pray all the live long day if we want. But usually we have the opposite problem, is people aren't putting aside time for prayer. And having raised 10 kids, the youngest is a junior in high school now, and I used to homeschool, and they all went to the Catholic high school. I know what it's like to have a busy life, and I know that I have to tear myself away from the busyness sometimes. My best place is if I stop in adoration, and it's so fruitful, but it's so hard for me to force myself to do it. But now I make a habit out of it, and there's, you know, we can feel like, I just... If you feel stuck, there's so many ways to pray to God that none of us should ever be stuck, really.
Mm. And each of us has, or at least should, recognize our own unique role to play in God's plan, shouldn't we? I mean, we really are important to God.
We are, so we need to make Him important to us. And He's got way more to give to us than we have to give to Him. He just, you know, we have to think about this. It's prayer is more for us than for Him. But it's necessary.
Let's talk about some of the holy hacks in that regard then. When you feel you cannot pray because your mind is distracted, just start talking to God and tell Him about it. Choose to listen. Mentally place yourself in the presence of God, especially at Eucharistic adoration. Tell God you want to know whatever He has to tell you. There are others I would select, but in time, expect improvement, not perfection. What are some of your favorites?
I like praising God because, you know, I recently read Jeff Caven's book on praise and thanksgiving, and I see now how clearly it's all throughout the Bible, you know, that we owe God our praise and thanksgiving, and that in itself is a prayer. So praise God and thank Him for, look around, or, you know, praise God, you know, enjoy when you're enjoying nature, send up a prayer of thanks and praise. Read the Psalms, you know, for instance, let my prayer be incense before you, my uplifted hands in evening prayer. Sing a hymn. Just say the name of Jesus or say something simple. I have a lot of simple prayers like the miraculous metal prayer, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us for every course of thee, or Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. You know that it's your mantra that you can say over and over that raises your mind towards God and is a prayer and grounds you in the divine, you know, in union with the Holy Spirit. You can do it while you're in traffic, standing in a line, waiting for the microwave, you know, this,
yes.
It just becomes a habit to have these prayers and thoughts or just talk to God like, oh man, this is turning out to be a hard day. Okay, Lord. Or I made a wrong turn, offer it up and, say, Lord, I'm going to offer this up, so thank you. You know, every little thing we have to offer up is going towards our prayer intentions. What do you want to pray for? Do you want to pray against abortion? Are you praying for your family? Are you praying for a struggling marriage? You know, offering things up is a type of prayer. I like one of my favorite things, and we talked about it earlier, is create prayer triggers. You know, I mentioned whenever I water this particular plant, I say Hail Mary for the person that gave it to me. Well, guess who just gave me an Easter lily? Guess who gives me a poinsettia every Christmas? Because I told him he owns a plant nursery, and he heard my husband used to be on the radio and said it was my birthday, and he goes, oh, here's a plant for Patty. Well, he knows I say Hail Mary for him every time I water it. So I said, okay. So with the Easter lily, I said, okay, you get a glory be on this one. But creating little prayer triggers, and this is one of my favorites, not one of my easiest, but one of my favorites, is to pray for the people that drive you crazy. Now, not just people in your personal life, people that are in your face promoting abortion really irritate me, and I need to remember to pray about them and not just complain about them. When we complain, in some ways, we're being unloving and holier than thou and prideful. Now, granted, I believe the pro-life stance is way more powerful than the pro-abortion stance, but I have to be careful that I'm not looking down on them. And one of the ways I do this is I say a prayer for them. If I think they're on the wrong path, well, instead of getting together with other people and complaining about them, that doesn't do anybody any good. Say a prayer for them and realize that person who maybe is promoting abortion, they have more potential to do good than you do. Because think of Abby Johnson. Think of Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Those people, or the drug addict who converts, is the people that are doing the wrong thing. If you pray for them and your prayers are answered, they actually can give a greater testimony and do a greater good in that area than you can. So pray for those people that drive you crazy.
Let me, one more before we move on to Holy Hacks for Spiritual Protection. I like this one especially. Spend time thinking of all the ways Jesus has shown his love to you. St. Teresa of Avila gave this definition of prayer, quote, prayer is nothing more than spending time alone with the one I know loves me. Pretty simple. We know that from our own experience in this life. With our spouse and friends and all. We know of people who love us. And if we became more attentive to God's presence in our life and the way that he has shown his love to us, if we got conscious about it, our life would change, I'm sure. Holy hacks.
Right. Yeah, and we could...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
We can do that with the smallest thing, you know, that we have electricity, that we have plumbing, you know, I have a washing machine. When you start breaking it down and magnifying your life, oh my gosh, you start to realize what a bounty of grace and gifts that God has given to you, and you start to be thankful for those things.
Holy hacks for spiritual protection. Why do you seem, at least it appeared that way to me, to spend a good amount of attention to spiritual protection?
Because, Father, I have occasionally interview exorcists and I write articles, and boy, do they get attention. I will often have the secular media pick up my articles. Now, if I wrote something that was true about some spiritual issue, you know, a lot of people might read it and go, yep, that's a good article. But when I quote an exorcist on these things, I've been picked up by the Drudge Report, by the UK Telegraph, by Time Magazine, because now we've got an exorcist involved saying these things. And so I realized a chapter on spiritual protection. But, you know, Father, when I do an article where I interview an exorcist, I do it for a number of reasons. One is to get some real clarity. You know, I recently wrote about these satanic products that were being sold on Walmart's catalog, online catalog. And it was picked up by the Drudge Report. It created such a stir, and people contacted Walmart that Walmart wrote to the National Catholic Register and said, you know, we were not aware because we allow third-party sellers. But when you go to it looks like it's all Walmart, but they allow third-party sellers that they've approved to be selling their products as representing Walmart. Well, when they realized this was happening, they stopped it. So not only was it powerful, but it got picked up all over because I interviewed an exorcist. If it was just, you know, little old me saying, hey, this is really bad, I don't think it would have gotten picked up. So therefore, I did a whole chapter on this because I know it gets people's attention. And in getting their attention, though, I bring them back to the church and I bring them back to the simpleness of stay in the sacrament, you have all the protection you need, and sin is your greatest enemy. We do not need to be afraid of the devil.
Why is it that Lucifer, and you mentioned this in your book, Holy Hacks, why is it that Lucifer often seems to get more attention today than God?
Because we get bored with God, because, you know, we aren't going deeper in our relationship. When I was a secular writer and I thought religious writing was boring, I was missing out on the glory of God and how present he is in my life and how exciting it is to live a life in union with God and how he takes care of everything and how comforting. So if you're not keyed into that, going to horror movies, hearing about some scary thing that happened, he's getting everybody's attention. Wow, is this exciting? But you know what's exciting is God is exciting. We forget that. And when the devil is portrayed in movies, and how many horror movies have Catholic priests in them? You know, like, you know, when the devil comes, all of a sudden, the Catholic priest is very important. And in real life, too, because I've interviewed enough exorcists, and there's been some pretty hair-raising stories that I've been involved with that people eventually feel that if you want to really get help, go to a Catholic exorcist. And a lot of people from other faiths will go to them for help. And it's a ministry of charity where they will help people. But, you know, one exorcist that I quoted in the book, Father Vincent Lampert, who's the exorcist for the... Usually they don't say who they are because for a lot of reasons.
Right.
You know, people come out of the woodwork, you get into trouble. But so Father Vincent Lampert, who's an exorcist, told me that he will help people from other faiths. He's even helped a Jewish person, but he says, you have to realize I'm calling on the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power that I am using. And if somebody will not, some people just want him to do his magic. And he says, it's not magic. If I told you to take a black cat by the tail and swing it around in the air and quote, you know, say these words, you would do it. But I'm telling you to pray and become associated with the church. And that's too boring. Some people come to him and they just want him to fix the problem. But really, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, he says, I can't help you. Because even if I, you know, get this devil out of your life, very few people are possessed, but a lot of people are being oppressed.
Yes.
And maybe being, because they open themselves up to him. If you invite him in, he's not going to go away. You might need help, or you just might need to go to confession. That's your first step, go to confession. And that's going to help almost everything, because that's what you need to do. Confess that if you're involved in the occult, or you opened yourself up to something. And one exorcist, Monsignor Essef, who's in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, and is 90 years old, says that a confession is 100 times more valuable than one exorcism. An exorcism is a blessing, and confession is a sacrament, and so it confers sacramental graces upon you. That's what you need to do, and you need to realize people, when they go to these movies and they're scared, they're acting like there's these two powers at war. We have to remember God is the creator. He is the ultimate power. He is infinitely more powerful than the devil. This is not a war between two equals. However, the devil is more powerful than we are. So we don't go to battle by ourselves. We go to Jesus. We let him fight for us. This is not our battle. Our battle is against sin. But then we go to Jesus and let him fight it. And we go to the Blessed Mother, who, because of her humility, you know, exorcists tell me that Jesus, of course, is involved in every exorcism. And so is the Blessed Mother.
As I spoke to you on the phone before the program, I said that I am directly related to that ministry in our diocese. I am not an exorcist, but directly related. And as I looked at the holy hacks, many I could select, but two I have chosen, probably really, really could be. Let me say there are three. And there could be four. One is the use of holy water, cleanse your house of anything related to the occult, just to begin with. Then do not address the devil. And I guess I would make it even stronger. Don't dare address the devil unless you are renouncing him. Speak only to God and the angels and the saints. You need to call upon Saint Michael, really. And then another one is be devoted to the Eucharist, in both receiving and worship. As St. John Bosco said, there are two things the devil is deadly afraid of: fervent communions and frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And so when people are pressed, one of the things we ask them, first of all, if they're Catholic, as you said, more than Catholics come to us, are they going to church? Are they going to Mass? And are they receiving the Eucharist? And if they're not, then we recommend that very strongly. Our guest this evening is Patty McGuire Armstrong. We're talking about her book, Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. We're going to take this break. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify. We have about 20 minutes or so before the end of the program. We are speaking this evening with Patty McGuire Armstrong about her book, Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. A way, really, to holiness in baby steps is the one that appeals to me the most. Patty, before we move on, is there anything more that you want to say about holy hacks for spiritual protection?
Just to reiterate that the devil isn't something to fear, sin is. That's, Monsignor Ossoff said, we should be fearing sin. That's the worst. Because that's what the devil uses to try to hurt us, to eventually kill our soul. If the more we get comfortable with sin and the more we do sin, that's, and most of us are not afraid of sin. But we might be afraid of the devil, but then we don't have a problem doing things that we know are wrong. And so focus on the sacraments and recognize that sin is our enemy. That's what we need to be afraid of.
And we speak about the armor of God that we can put on. It's sometimes I look at Saint Michael and he has the armor on, and it has a spiritual significance, of course. And of course, Michael is himself a spiritual being. But I think that we need to realize we also have that spiritual protection. At least the spiritual protection is available to us. And if we use it through the sacraments, whether it's confession, Eucharist, prayer, and so many other ways, we may not see what we've been put on, but we have indeed invested ourselves with protection from the evil that does exist in the world. A holy hacks for evangelizing. Let's say something a little bit about that. Because the laity is also called to evangelize, as are priests, aren't they?
Yes, and Father, you probably feel that the laity tends to want you to do it all. Do you ever feel that like, oh no, that's your job? That, especially as Catholics,
I felt that way.
A little uncomfortable. Go ahead.
I think I've felt that way more than in the past than I do now. We have like fewer people coming to church, but there are more people who want to become involved in the church in terms of their role, what it is that they should be doing in assisting the priest. So I'm beginning to look at it just a little bit differently than someone who's been ordained for some 53 years now.
But lay Catholics, as a rule, we are not good at going out and seeking people out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying,
oh, that way,
you know,
yes,
in general,
yes.
It's getting less that way. More and more, we're thinking along those lines. There's St. Paul Street Evangelization, which has begun to do amazing things. I interviewed Steve Dawson, who's in this book, who started out by just giving miraculous medals to people, and he went through a big conversion himself. He just was so on fire for the Lord that wanted to start spreading the good news of the church. But he doesn't just go around, you know, we're not saying be that obnoxious person. Hey, have you been saved? And those people, I say obnoxious, but because some people think they are, but, you know, that you have to get people where they're at and just maybe live your faith, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, stop and say grace, maybe wear a crucifix. And if you really are, if God is at the center of your life, there's no way it's not going to come into your conversation. And this is something I do. It's my favorite thing because I have been blown away. You know, you don't see God, you don't, but it happens ever so subtly when you go somewhere and you ask God to use you to decide who you sit next to and to direct your conversation so that one or both of you will be growing closer to God. So I don't just assume I'm the one that's going to bring the good news and, you know, but I just said, and I can't tell you the number of times, it is mind-blowing, how many people have said to me, it must have been meant to be that you sat next to me. And it's never, I'm not the one trying to cause this conversation to happen. It happens naturally. It unfolds naturally so that somehow something is revealed that we talk about that leads them closer to God, and they are blown away by it. And that's evangelizing. Just recently, I was flying home to Dearborn to visit my dad, and I was talking to somebody about, I knew the parish he was from, and we were talking, and I was saying how, you know, I had done this article on St. Paul Street Evangelization and just really sharing your faith with others. And it ended up being a very deep religious conversation. And as we were getting off the plane, he said, you know, I'm not called to do that. I really feel like I'm called to pray for my wife and family right now. And I said, well, it's not an either or proposition, you know. And I explained how I pray for God to decide who I sit next to and direct your conversation. And I said, okay, look at our conversation we just had. And you're the one who brought this and that up. I didn't, but look where it went. And he goes, you're right. And then he realized that I asked God to do that for me. You decide. Yes. You direct it. And I said, that's all it is. And he says, wow, you've really given me something to think about. And I think it was meant that you sat next to me. But there's been so many people that have said, it must have been meant to be that you sat next to me. And when they say that, I said, of course it was. I asked God to decide who I sat next to. And it always blows them away because they realize this was a divine meeting and a divine conversation. And so that's how you begin your evangelizing. You simply put it in God's hands. You decide who I'm going to talk to. You direct the conversation. But then also pray. One thing that I really like that Steve Dawson does is they go out and intentionally, they might set up a table in a busy place in New York or some busy city in Pittsburgh. And hey, do you have questions, you know, about, mm-hmm. do you want to know about the Catholic Church? They might even go door to door, something I've never done. But they ask the Holy Spirit to help them and give them the words, but also to prepare the hearts of the people that they're going to talk to. And one other thing I want to mention when you talk about evangelizing, sometimes our biggest difficulty is evangelizing our own family, maybe our adult children. And we have to realize it's God's work. We can only plant the seeds. and not to beat yourself up that you didn't seal the deal. You didn't close the deal because maybe you're just planting the seeds, and then you put the rest in God's hands and just pray for that person.
And yes, you touched on it. You say it a little more specifically in your book, Holy Hacks, that when we're asking God to put us in a position where we can be helpful to someone, at the same time to ask God to help you overcome whatever is stopping you from sharing your faith with others. And I think if you're going to ask that first question, you probably don't need to ask the second one because you've already dealt with that. But there's so many people out there who don't believe that their faith is strong enough to share with others, and maybe it's only because they haven't really tried. Any other holy hacks that you want to use about evangelizing? Because there are a couple of different sections in your book about them.
One that I've started doing that I really like is being friendly to cashiers or waitresses or whoever you encounter, and then say, have a good day, God bless you, or, God bless you, have a nice day. It's just like this little thing that if you haven't done it before, there might be a little bit of reluctance, but once you do it, it's so easy, and people smile. Either they don't say anything or they just smile and love it and say, well, God bless you too. So that's a simple way to evangelize.
Mm-hmm. And also, each morning, pray that God will direct our conversations, open our eyes and ears, and help us love all regardless of who they are. And I think we will be more willing and able to do that if we have first of all opened our eyes and our ears to God's presence in our life and to realize that we don't do these things alone, really, that God is with us. The Spirit of God is with us to do that. And the holy hack, it all comes down to the fact that God is everything. In all that you do, all that you say, be Jesus to others. We don't think we can do
right.
that, but we can be, can't
right.
we?
And on one hand, you need some good, strong Catholics to support you, so we all need that support. But don't also make other friends, too. We need to go out into the world and at least interact with other people so we're not segregating ourselves and not opening ourselves up to those opportunities of being an example and bringing Christ to others. And let them be an example to you. I've learned a lot from Protestants sometimes, realizing over the years, they've helped form me to be a little bit more, I used to just pray. I would go to Mass and say prayers at night, and I realized I should be praying all day about, they're always talking about praying and talking to the Lord, and that really helped my prayer life grow. And praying with other people. There are times when people are telling me about some problem or worry or stress, and I'll say, hey, do you want to pray right now? And usually they always say, I've never heard anybody say no. And so once again, we might have to get out of our little comfort zone, but once we do it, it gets to be so easy, and we'll just say, okay, Lord, please help. You can just say a sentence or two, or just say Hail Mary together or Glory Be together. But stop and pray for that person that's sharing their trouble and their burden with you. And you can do that with somebody of any faith.
And to our audience, I want to point out, you may think that we're reading all the holy hacks. I can assure you, we're not even reading 10% of them. That's how much guidance there is in the book, Holy Hacks. A couple more in terms of holy hacks for evangelizing. Remember, our job is not to convert, but to have conversations. We plant the seeds, and God takes it from there. Decide that you will start a conversation with someone. And then I like this one also. Show respect for the other person's opinions. Never say you're wrong. That's how I do this program. I don't think I've ever said to anyone in 53 years that you're wrong. There's a lot of ways that you can speak with someone about the differences that exist between you without having to say that.
Right. Even if you're talking with an atheist, you can maybe ask them, why do you not believe in God? Or, well, I guess this is what God means to me. You don't have to say, well, you're wrong. You need to do this. You need to do that, because nobody wants to hear that. but just share in a very subtle, gentle, loving way. And maybe just offer your thoughts. Well, this is what God means to me, or this is what my faith means to me. But keep it short. You know,
yes.
That's one of the things about St. Paul Street Evangelization, is you just maybe want to open their minds and their hearts. And maybe if it's a coworker, you might have little ongoing conversations. Maybe somebody on a plane. If it's a friend or family member, maybe you have more opportunities to talk later on. But you can't push. If you see the door closing, you know, you're not going to force it open. Just stop and say a prayer. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Because I used to feel frustrated. I used to feel like, I've got to convince them. I've got to find the right words. And I realized that isn't my job. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to do that. So I'm just going to do what I can when I can.
Stay calm and positive. Remember, it's a process. If you don't know something, admit it and say you will find out. Then remember to get back to them with the answer. So it's very practical and intended to be non-threatening. Let's talk about holy hacks against gossip. We had started the program with your mentioning that part of the book. And let me explain that the rest of the book has holy hacks from Catholics in the media. There's holy hacks for Lent, holy hacks for Christmas, Easter, and other holidays also. So there's more in the book than we would get to. These are the ones we've been dealing with that are more timely, perhaps, than Lent or Christmas, although certainly it still is the Easter season. But holy hacks against gossip. What is meant by gossip? How can it be harmful? Why is it so easy to adopt?
It's easy because sometimes it's interesting. You know, I mentioned early in the show that I used to write for the National Enquirer, and then I realized, hey, I'm selling my soul here. This is against my faith. It's against, I have a degree in social work. This is not helping anybody. It's harmful. And nobody wants to be the object of gossip. And I use gossip to mean everything from detraction, mean-spirited, talking against people. And we fall into a lot of traps. And, you know, if you're not practicing your faith, people might freely say, hey, I got some juicy gossip for you. If you are practicing your faith and you know it's wrong, you might say, well, I've got to tell you this so we can pray for this person. And I say, be careful. Be careful. You might be kidding yourself. And I gave a story. My husband and I used to live in Kalispell, Montana. We ran a group home for delinquent boys. Like I said, I have a background in social work. And after 3 years, we were leaving, and the director wanted to know, hey, you know, the grocery bill sure is high. What are you guys doing? I said, well, we've been going camping. And I tried to figure out why would it be high. And she asked me several times, and it was odd. And it wasn't until several months after we left, I found out the person at the grocery store where we could sign for all these nonprofits. You could get your groceries there, and then they would bill the director or whoever the bookkeeper was. She was double billing. Mm. And they thought, because we were leaving, that we were stealing them blind. Mm. And so I used that example of that story that you would feel justified. Can you believe they act like they're such great people, and here they were stealing from the group home before they left? Or, you know, the director then told the head of the board, and he said, well, let's, you know what, we can't do anything. They're going to be going soon. Let's just let it go. And they eventually, thankfully, found out, but I had no idea. And I said, just realize if they had gossiped about us, I don't know if they did or not, but people would feel justified talking about that situation, and you ruin people's reputations. And even if it's true, it's a sin. It's a sin of detraction to ruin somebody's reputation. You can only tell somebody something if they have a need to know to protect them. You cannot do it for your personal entertainment, or it's a very serious sin, and it's a horrible habit.
You're right. At times, we all find ourselves in the position of being told scandalous or negative information. Let's face it, shocking information is interesting, but it is wrong to entertain it. When we do, we should bring it to confession and pray for those involved. How would our lives be different if we refused to repeat or listen to negative things about people and only said positive things about others? If we dissect gossip and hold it under the light of Christ, it will strengthen our resolve not to gossip. And we have to say at the same time that even if it's true, we should still walk away and not participate in it, should we?
Right. And, you know, the part you just read, you know, how would your life be different? I can tell you one way it could be different is we all know people that will not speak against other people and don't gossip, and we all respect them for that. We also all know gossip, or at least we've encountered gossips before, and we do not trust that person. We don't, you know, that is not a person you want for your friend. And so just that alone, you realize, okay, choose. Who do you want to be like? And you're going to have to, it might mean making some changes in your life and confessing and repenting and striving not to gossip.
And the holy hacks, let's close our program with some of those. One is pray and make sacrifices for all those you have ever hurt by gossip, asking God to repair and heal them from any damage you've caused. It sounds like that is the penance that I sometimes give in the confessional when I have been heard someone's confession. Tell us about a holy hack that you would recommend.
Well, if you feel the need to vent, write it out on a piece of paper and then throw it away so that you've got it away, wrote it down. Don't feel compelled to repeat something. Anytime you open your mouth, imagine that person you're talking about is sitting in the room with you, because it may get back to them anyway. So think about that and then decide what you're going to say. So that'll risk embarrassment as well as sin. And also realize that whatever you say is a reflection of who you are. Why don't you write that down? If you have a hard time with this, write it on a 3x5 card or a little piece of paper. What you say about others is a reflection of who you are, and then tape it on your mirror.
And if you're thinking only about yourself, gossiping gives you a bad reputation. If you ever heard someone described as a big gossip, consider the opposite. A trustworthy person who speaks kindly of others. Privately, and here's your recommendation, write a list of the people you know and admire, and another list of those you do not admire. Identify the attributes that you admire or dislike, and aspire to be deserving of your own good reputation. Our guest this evening has been Patty McGuire Armstrong. We've been talking about her book, Holy Hacks, Everyday Ways to Live Your Faith and Get to Heaven. As I said, I like the description that it's a way to holiness in baby steps. It's not like we have to go on a 30-day retreat necessarily. That's good if you're at a certain part in a phase of your spiritual direction, but the way to begin to holiness is in baby steps. Patty, thank you very much for being our guest this evening. There's so many ways I'm sure that you've helped me, and I'm sure helped those who are listening.
Well, thank you so much, Father Ron. This has been a pleasure. God bless you.
Thank you, and bless you and your large family.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
So let me just read a passage from the book. There's so much that I could read, but Patty does write that daily Christian life, live beyond Sunday Mass, must become a way of life for each of us. So the Mass is critically important, she's saying, but it's not the only thing that we must be and do. When we soak it in until we are saturated and faith exudes from our pores, we will have a healthy, hearty soul. The only things we can take with us at judgment are the things we did out of love of God and neighbor. Imagine the joy of hearing that your many sins have been forgiven because you have loved so much. And again, hearing that, so to speak, from God. When we read about the saints or desire to follow the example and teachings of Jesus, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's like we say, I can't be that way. I could never live that way. Holiness might seem beyond our reach. And loving as Jesus does requires supernatural strength. God never demands of us anything beyond our ability. I would underline that. God never demands of us anything beyond our ability. When we break it down, all of life is a series of choices. Love is also a choice lived out daily. These choices add up, becoming habits that form us in the way of the Lord. The saints achieved holiness not in a single day, but rather moment by moment, breath by breath, prayer by prayer, and what we've been talking about this evening, hack by hack, these little baby steps towards holiness, and so too can we. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone. And come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.